know that a little trouble with the name to begin with. No, that's okay. That's okay. It's very common. That's why I go by Dominic most of the time. I was telling my team back there, but I feel like kind of if there was such a thing as Christian Mafia, you had Henry, now you got the Menegal up here, there's something going on. There is no such thing as Christian Mafia. So with that being said, it's a blessing. And it's an honor and it's a privilege to be here today with you. I just want to just take a few moments to tell you how I connected with your pastor and then how he connected with Rushing Revive Ministries. He's at the church that I'm pastoring today. And I know they're going to be blessed by the word he has for them. But I met Pastor Nick roughly about 4 years ago at one of my sister-in-law's events that I really didn't want to go to. I love my sister-in-law. She's great. For those of you who don't know, because I know that down in the country, everybody kind of knows each other. I'm married to Leslie York. That's the oldest York girl. See, you were surprised. I said that someone was surprised by me. Yeah, she's my wife, okay? And together, we have six beautiful children, and she's the love of my life and everything else, but she's at home today. Nick and me are going to come to our little home at the end, and hopefully I'll get back there in time, so on and so forth. But I met Pastor Nick there. And we sat down at a picnic table and just started talking, and it was very obvious there was a connection. And I told him about Rushing Revive Ministries. We're almost 6 years old, and at that time I was only a couple years old. And he said, man, I've been praying about a ministry to support like this, and that's how it happened. And from there, I had him come out to some Rushing Revive events. He spoke out there, and this relationship has just been built since then. And I'll tell you just a couple things. I'll tell you, number one, you have a really good pastor. You have a pastor that's called with God. He's called with God. And you are the evidence of that. You are the fruit of his ministry. And one of the signs of life in a fellowship is when you see youth, when you see young people, when you see families come. That is not the norm. That is not the norm these days. We live in a very, very narrow playing field, we'll call it. The Northeast, they call it the graveyard of church plants, if you didn't know that. So to have a thriving, alive church in a place that's called the graveyard of church plant says a lot. And my encouragement to you is support your pastor, love your pastor. He's not perfect. He's flawed. You've been through some trials, you've been through some valleys, and God uses those to just burn off the dross. Those that are not supposed to be part of this church flock or family. You see, because when you come to a church, it's either your home or it's our hotel, one or the other. It's a hotel or it's a home, one or the other. And so, with that being said, I want to just take 2 minutes to tell you about Rushing Revive Ministries, because we're not in a rush to get out of here. We've got some wonderful people who are part of Rushing Revive Ministries in the back. And that's Luke, who was on the board. He was just out with us at our Monroe Avenue in the heart of the city outreach last night. Kevin and Andrea have on our latest crusade gear. That's how Rushing Revive Ministries started. Actually, our first crusade was 2016. So the crusades to the campus and the marketplace started before Rescue and Revive Ministries completely evolved. That's how Rescue and Revive Ministries started. I was on staff at a church as a children's pastor, and I resigned to start this ministry. Of course, I'm pastoring the church now, but nevertheless, I know that this ministry, by the grace of God, has been birthed and built by God. So I plan on continuing moving on with it. And then Sue's surprised me. Sue's been a big part of Rescue and Revive Ministries. Joel from Oneonta today to be here. So that tells you a little bit about the commitment and faithfulness of some of the people God has raised up to serve alongside Rescue and Revive Ministries. People ask, and I'm going to make it really quick because I want to get into the Word. I love preaching and teaching God's Word. So really quick, I want to tell you, because people said, well, tell us about the ministry. Well, somebody said to me, it was Pauline, she said, Todd, we want to hear about the ministry. I want to tell you about the ministry, but I don't want to take up too much time because I want to tell you more about God's Word. But the mission is very simple. It's on our shirt, rescuing the lost and reviving the saved, the dead or the last in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we go to Kenya, which you've been to 3 times, we have worked there, redefined and supported that. Pastor Nick, his wife, has been to our Kenya nights. We have another one coming up July 27th. What do we do there? We rescue the lost. We revive the saved, the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. What did we do on Monroe Ave last time? Rescue the lost and revive the saved, the everlasting. See, the gospel is the power source. It doesn't matter if it's the Crusades throughout the Northeast. We're going to the Lincoln Memorial this year. That's where we'll converge. We're also going to about 7 or 8 universities to open-air preach, to pray with people, to pass out gospel tracts. Always at the center of our ministry is the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the power source. That's where the power is. And everlasting gospel comes from Revelation 14:6, where there's an angel flying through the heavens, proclaiming the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Even in the heavens, the gospel is still being proclaimed. And so that's kind of the vision. We have plenty of materials from Rescue Revived Ministries, all for free. When I started this ministry, 2018, August 13, 2018, the Lord told me, I'm not to charge for anything. Offering's different. You feel like you want to give an offering, that's fine. But we don't charge for meals, sweatshirts, we don't do that. Because that's the conviction God's put on my heart. The gospel freely received, you freely give. And so, blessed be the name of the Lord. Again, we're not in a rush. We'd love to talk to you afterwards about anything, pray with you, whatever you need. And so with that being said, I'm going to pray with you now, and then we're going to get into God's word for today. You saw the sermon title? Realization, Revelation, Proclamation. So we'll get into it, but just join me in a word of prayer if you would. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the opportunity to be here. You have built this church. I can see it, I can hear it, I can feel it. And you will continue to build this church because it's your church. It doesn't belong to any man like myself or Pastor Nick. No pastor, no minister can claim the church of Jesus Christ. We're your under shepherds. So I pray right now that the word of God would have its perfect way. Give it free course, as the Apostle Paul prayed. Give the word of God free course right now. And I ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's family said, Amen. Pastor and Spencer Court Bible, since September 2022, I'd like to often end by saying all of God's family, because the reality is, whether I'm in the country, and now I am in the country for the last 22 or 23 years because my wife is from Gannesarega, and that's country, okay? My kids were literally riding a cow 2 days ago. So I'm a city guy, okay? And so these two cultures, right, you merge together, so whether it's a city church or a country church or a suburb or wherever it is, our God remains the same. There's something to a church culture, but the God remains the same. We shouldn't let cultural barriers divide us. And if you're really honest, some of you have probably already looked at me and judged me. You've already looked at me and judged me by the way I look. Darker skin, so on and so forth. In fact, Brother Harry, in the fancy, thought I was Puerto Rican. So as I found out I was Italian, maybe you started to like me more. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, this is a fact of life in Christendom, that we still have segregation. It may be unspoken, but we still have segregation. There's still the black church, the white church, the Hispanic church, the country church, the city church. Let me tell you this, my friend, that is not the heart of God, that is not the will of God, and that is not the word of God. And this is some of what Jesus is going to get into in the text today with Peter. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to encourage you before Pastor Nick stands on this, okay? I'm going to encourage you today. I have my phone in my pocket. I use Blue Letter Bible a lot on my phone. Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Get a Bible, not a phone. This is one app. It won't distract you. You won't get a text. You won't get an email. You won't get ding in the middle of the service. Get a Bible. One app. Get it. You can hear the pages flip. You can personalize it. I got pictures of my dad here who's now passed. I got a note from my daughter. Get a Bible. Use a Bible here. I don't care what year it is, 2024 or 2064. Get a Bible. And use the Bible app as a resource. That's just my personal suggestion. Make it personal. To me, I love this book. I got up at 6 in the morning to drive to Spencer Court to get it because I forgot it there last night because I wanted this specific Bible. Make it personal. It's God's word, his love letter to you. Matthew chapter 16. I'll pick up in verse 13. I'll give you some context. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, as they often did, why? Because they were religious people. They came to Jesus to tempt him, as they often did. And Jesus never fell for it, of course. Why? Because he's the Son of God. He's the Messiah, the chosen one of God. And so the chapter starts off that way with their interaction. But we're going to pick up in verse 13. Or has to do the interaction with the Apostle Peter. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's a great question. That's a great question. Everybody has to answer that question at some point. Who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Boy, John had been beheaded. He's out of the picture at this point. Some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So he starts off and casts a general question to the disciples. At that time, 12. Judas is still amongst them, Judas Iscariot. But now, he makes it very, very personal in the next question. Just like he's going to make it very, very personal with you today. The most important question you will ever be asked this side of eternity is the question Jesus is about to ask Peter. It's the most important question anyone could ever ask you. Why? Because your soul is on the line based upon who Christ is to you. He says this. He says, verse 15, he says unto them, but who you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You got it right. See, there was a realization. There was a thinking process. Still some, most people in this neighborhood have at least heard of Jesus. They've heard of him. So there's a realization, there's a thinking, well, I wonder who Jesus really is. I mean, Peter at this time had been walking with him, with the other disciples. He's been walking with him, breaking bread with him. He's seen miracles performed, the wedding feast, the Cana, healing the blind, all these things. But still, who is this? Is this really the one that was written about, prophesied about in the Old Testament, in the Torah? Listen to the answer. The answer is called revelation. Revelation means unveiling. You see, I must tell you this today. For some of you, this will be good news. For others, it'll be bad news. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation, eternal salvation, is of the Lord, which means this. You could be coming to Redefine or Spencer Ford Bible or any other church in this world every week, sitting in the same pew, listening to the same worship music, saying the same prayers, going to the same children's school, and never know who Jesus really is. You might have a knowledge of him. You say, Pastor Nick preaches about him every week. He teaches his word every week. But do you know that he's the Christ, the chosen one, the Son of the living God, and he's the Savior of man? And Jesus said this, unless a man is born again, in John 3, amen, cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus, who was a religious leader at the time, says, I'm an old man. How can I go back into my mother's womb? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, I tell you the truth. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born again. In other words, there's no other way. You came out of the birth canal of a woman. And yes, you can only have give birth if you're a woman. And I make that public service announcement right now. Only women can give birth. My Lord, help us. How far we have fallen. You came out of the birth canal of a woman. Water. I've seen it 5 times because I missed the last one. It happened so fast. But I've seen it. You have a natural, physical birth, Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. Then you must be born of the Spirit. You must have a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. He's not just a teacher. If you think he's just a teacher, here's the bad news. You will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. If you think he's just an apostle, or a prophet, or a philosopher, or a man, you, my friend, listen to me. You will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, according to God's word. He says, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter says this. Now listen to what Jesus says. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed, divinely favored. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, or Simon, son of Jonah. The flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. No man can save a soul. You know what I love about sharing the wonderful, beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ? There's no pressure on you. None. Mark chapter 4. Jesus speaks of the parable. Man goes out, casts forth the seed, sees the word of God. He goes to bed, wakes up, sprouts. He has no power. The man just casts forth the seed. There's no power and salvation in the man and being the conduit. It's like being a scalpel in the hands of a surgeon. You get to labor with the Lord, but you have no determination of the results. Some plant, some water that seed, but only God can do the increase. Salvation is of the Lord. You must be born again. You say, well, what happened to Nicodemus? Here's what happened. Later on, when Jesus Christ was crucified, he was in his tomb. Nicodemus ran to Joseph of Arimathea to anoint his body with spices. It's a pretty good indication. Lights went on. But half they went on with you. One thing I've learned in being in many churches throughout the world, many sit in pews, and they are not regenerate. They are not born again. You say, how can you say that, sir? You know a tree by its fruit. Jesus says, you know a tree by its fruit. Jesus always uses horticulture, agricultural terms. If you're a farmer, you should get this. He always uses agriculture, horticulture. Why? Because it always takes time to see if that seed is going to grow. If that tree is going to grow. See, people get excited. This is what happens. People do this to me. I'm not. Now I'm playing this. Please, hear my heart. Because I've done it at times. You're looking at a man who's saved by a sinner's prayer, okay? But people say this all the time. Oh, praise the Lord. 16 people received the Lord tonight. I thought, that's great, bro. How do you know? Are you saying 16 people repeated something you told them to repeat? Because there's nothing in this Bible that says that. It does say, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But it doesn't say, say this prayer after me and you'll be saved. You say, well, how do I know if I really have that revelation of who Christ is? Revelation produces transformation. You won't be the same.
Right.
A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree, Jesus said, produces bad fruit. Do you have joy? Do you have love? Do you have peace? Do you have self-control? Those are the fruits of the Spirit listed in Ephesians 5. You say, I have none of those. My friend, you're not saved. A good tree produces good fruit. Now listen, we have to examine ourselves. I've had people really close to me, say, I don't see any fruit in anybody. You know how that makes you feel? Unconverted. You say, I thought you were a pastor. I am. You see, the Apostle Paul said, I examine myself daily. If the Apostle Paul says that, we should. To see where we are with our covenant relationship with our living God. And so, says, flesh and blood has not revealed this, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, Peter, thou art Peter. Now this is one of the most pivotal verses in the entirety of the Bible when it comes to Catholicism and Protestantism. Henry was Catholic because he was Italian. I was Catholic. So you're born into Catholicism. Here's a pivotal verse between Catholics and Protestants. Here it is. I say unto thee that you are Peter. In the Greek, Petros. Little stone. And upon this rock, Petra, rock bed, referring to himself, I will build my church. You see, the head of the church is Jesus Christ. It's not Peter. It's not me. It's not Pastor Nick. It's no other man. Christ is the cornerstone. He's the head of the church. There is no man. There is no flesh that will glory in his presence. I am the Lord, he says. I will share my glory with none other. See, you have to be very careful when you're in a position before people, when you sing, when you preach, when you teach. Because people's natural tendency is to elevate the vessel. So you always have to guard against that. You always have to be careful about that. And Peter, we know Peter's personality, impulsive, he's a leader. But Jesus had an interaction saying, listen, upon this rock, I am the rock bed. I will purchase the church with my blood, Peter. I will lay my life down for the church, not you or any other man. You are Petros. I am Petra. And he says this, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What's the implication? The gates of hell are going to come against it. The gates of hell have come against this church. This way. Here. See me. And when the gates of hell come, what do? You go to the head of the church. You pray. You fast. You preach. You teach. You love. You endure. And then, when the victory is given, you seek purification. Purification. The gates of hell will never prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. See, stop thinking of the church. Stop thinking of the church as people inside his building. That's not what Jesus was saying. It's those that know that Christ is the Son of the living God. Every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every color. Do you remember the woman at the well in John chapter 4? I preached about this on the street last night. Think about this. Jesus went through Samaria. He says, I have to go through Samaria. Why? Because the Jews hated Samaritans. They would never preach. They would never talk to a Samaritan. They would walk around Samaria because they hated him so much. Jesus said, I have to go to Samaria. And when he goes to Samaria, he goes to this well. And he sits down there, and there's a woman there. Understand the context of the day. A woman who at that time, second class citizen, Samaritan, hated by the Jews. And that's who Jesus goes to? Yeah. Jesus goes there, sits down, they have this encounter, they have this dialogue. And guess what happens? Revelation. She gets it, she understands. It wasn't received by flesh and blood. The Father reveals to her that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. And what does she do? The very thing she came for, her water pot, she drops it and runs back into Samaria and tells people she discovered Christ. See, Jesus will go to anyone. Some of you, I'm going to get very personal. If you get mad at me, that's okay. I drive off today. I go back to Rochester. Somebody told me it's much easier. I love being pastoral and a day. Both, they're very different, by the way. Discover that all the time. I really do. I love the people of Spencer for. I really do. God's giving me heart for them. Somebody told me yesterday, I was talking to another pastor. He goes, yeah, a friend of mine is an evangelist. And he said, evangelist is easier. You got three sermons and a fast car. And you just preach, boom, people get mad, just take right off, you know? But that's not my heart. My heart is not to upset you. My heart is to reveal the truth. No one would share with this Samaritan woman. She went to the well that day to not be seen. She had been married five times, and the man she still lived with was not her husband, but Jesus might. There's nothing Jesus cannot forgive, no sin, other than you not believing he is the Son of the living God, the Christ, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Every other sin can be forgiven, past, present, and future. But if you're honest, you may not walk around the minority, but you're not going to go to them. You're not going to go to the Hispanic. You're not going to go to the black man because they're different. That's not God's heart. That's not who Jesus Christ is. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. There's more. There's more to your walk with God than just what's here. There's more than just what's in Rochester. There's an entire world dying without knowing cure. How important is it to Jesus? I'll tell you how important it is. The last thing he said before he ascended, he said, go and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's how important it is. He says this. Now we proclamation time. He says, I'll give unto thee the keys of redefined church. Is that what it says? Hold on, let me read it again. I'll give unto you the keys of Spencer Bible Church. I'll give you the keys to the Assembly of God. I'll give you the keys to the Baptist church around the corner. I'll give you the keys to... No, he doesn't say that. He says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I will give you authority, Peter,
When you understand truly who I am, when I blow on you and say, receive ye the Holy Ghost, you'll stand up at Pentecost and you'll proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and 3,000 souls will be added to my church.
Amen.
And you, my friend, and I have those same keys today. Are you using them? Are you proclaiming the gospel in any way, shape, or form? Now people say, well, these are things I hear, and they're all true. I'm not an evangelist. Absolutely. I agree with that. The Bible says some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. I agree with that. But the Great Commission was for all. We're all called in some way, shape, or form to partake in the Great Commission, to share the gospel in some way, to pray for those who do. You know, our crusade, we have a prayer team that goes out before. They drive thousands of miles to every campus, every place we go, and they pray before we go. And I tell them, we're in our ninth crusade. I won't do a crusade unless I have a prayer team before. Why? Because I know that's what work is done. Where did Jesus sweat drops of blood? In the garden, not at the cross. You see, in prayer. It's an important part of every ministry's prayer. But then there's proclamation. See, there's a misnomer in Christianity. It's a misunderstanding. People use this term. If you raise your hand if you've heard this, you've got to love people into the kingdom. Raise your hand if you've heard you've got to love people into the kingdom. Be honest. Thank you. We have one honest person. Okay, all right. So here's the reality. Maybe it's not as common as much anymore. You got to love people in the kingdom. Let me tell you this. If what you mean by loving people in the kingdom is giving them bottles of water, doing their farm chores, giving them bottles of milk, giving them bottles of water, making them meals, caring, those are all wonderful things. Please, don't misunderstand. Those are part of what a regenerate person does. But none of those things save a person. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. The Jew first and also the Greek. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. The power source is the gospel. That's the power source. It's nothing you can do. If it's something you do, God doesn't get all the glory. The work was done at the cross. Now you take the keys and you share that work with others. And God decides who gets in and who doesn't.
That's it. Amen.
That's called the good news of Jesus Christ, my friend. We have bracelets back there that says, Rescue and Revive Ministries. Repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repent. Have a change of mind about who you are and who God is. Who are you? I'm going to tell you this, another misnomer. Something, a doctrine that's sending people straight to hell is telling you you're a really good person. No, you're not. You are not a really good person. I'm not a really good person at my core. My thoughts are not always really good. Sometimes they're really bad. My heart can be wickedly deceitful. My feelings can deceive me. Jesus said, there's none good, no, not one, but my Father in heaven. Why do you call me good? I told the rich young ruler that. It's the goodness of God. It's the righteousness of God that gets transferred or imputed unto you when you receive by faith the work of Christ. The gospel is a word spoken to you. That's why people are not getting saved, because they don't hear the gospel, know the gospel. People are trying to do it in their own flesh and blood. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to them. You understand? There's so many different ways you can share the gospel. We have little gospel tracts. This one says, where will you spend eternity in the back? I was planting a couple in the gas station. I've had people say, this is not on my tracts. I get that. I don't hand out tracts as much as I used to. But do you listen to people when they speak? Yeah, you know, I'm blessed. To me, that's a trigger. I hear somebody say that. That's an open door for me. Well, what do you mean by last person I talked to? Spencer Ford House. I said, oh, I'm blessed. I said, you know, I like when you use that word. Let me tell you a little bit about this. See a cross around the neck? Use it. You say, well, I really want to share the gospel with you, but I don't know where to start. Well, let me give you two witnesses everybody has in the book of Romans. Creation. The word of God says, the visible things are evidence of the invisible things, and evidence of, they point to the God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Creation speaks of a creator. Number two, conscience. How do you know it's wrong to steal, kill? Why? How do you know? Because God's written his law in your heart. Just like he has the radically lost person. So use that law as a mirror and say, look, you're not good. But then you tell them the news. But one of the reasons this was given to, as a tutor or schoolmaster, points to the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, everybody has two witnesses. The most vile sinner. The biggest felon, okay? And I'm not talking about Donald Trump, okay? Just the biggest felon. They have two witnesses, an outer and an inner. And you can use those to springboard a conversation about the good news of Jesus Christ for people. So, he goes on in verse 19. It says, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You have the authority to save somebody. Not to forgive them of sin. But you can save them. I see Christ in you. I hear you. I see you. You're displaying fruits of the Spirit. I've told people, I said, man, your eyes look good. I can see Christ. I saw this guy who was 88 years old. I hadn't seen him in a long time. Saw him a few weeks ago. I said, man, you're shining. Remember Moses? He spent time with Jesus. They couldn't look at his face. You can see Christ in the countenance of people, in their eyes. Jesus said, have a single eye. If the eye is good, the rest of the body is good. What does a single eye mean? You have fixed focus, the kingdom of heaven. You see, the hardest place to be a Christian, listen to me, the hardest place in the world to be a Christian, it's not Afghanistan. Although that's number one on persecuted places to live. Afghanistan, North Korea just moved in to number two. It's not even one of those places. It's right here in the United States of America, the land of affluency and decadence. Because in North Korea and Afghanistan, you don't have to guess who's a Christian. Here you do. Because we have so much. So much. Comfort kills Christianity. Our priorities are so out of whack. So out of whack. You'll spend thousands on the Wii. We'll spend thousands on the newest car, thousands on the biggest home, thousands on our timeshare, thousands on temporal things, and we'll drop a coin in the offering. Not a widow's mite, because that was everything she had, but just a coin out of all of our excess. Where are your priorities? Your wallet will point to it. Your time, where do you spend your time? That will point to who you serve. Treasure, your time, your talent. Some of you have an ability, you have a talent, God gave it to you, you should be using it for the glory of God. I told Isaiah, I said, I'm really happy, man, you're teaching on Wednesdays. There's no such thing as one man show in the kingdom of God. Listen, he says, there's one man, it's Jesus Christ. It was great to see these people leading worship up here today. You know? Got my friend Henry with the clicker walking around. He's got his shop, right? But everybody's got their role, doesn't have to be great. In your eyes, in the eyes of God, the people who work the sound booth are the same as preacher. In fact, they're more esteemed, those parts that are less seen. If you've met my wife before, my wife hates being in the front. Hates it. But man, I know no other servant like her. Greater are her rewards in the kingdom. Servant of all. You want to move up? You want to go to, you know, the prosperity preachers are always like, man, God's going to take you to the next level. I said, what do you mean by that? I'll go to Africa and say, what do you mean when you tell people God has a breakthrough? What do you mean by that? What if they get poor and they get closer to Christ? Is that what you mean? No, it's not. Because you're a charlatan. You're a con man. You know not the Christ of the Scriptures. See, in God's economy, the apostles would say, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee in the name of Christ Jesus Christ of the Lord. Nothing wrong with affluence. You know what I've learned? There's some real kind-hearted, wealthy people. They help build the kingdom of God. There's others that are misers. And you're growing bigger barns. And one day you will pass. And Jesus said this, the man that keeps building bigger and bigger barns, one night your soul will be required of you. He says, you fool, your soul will be required of you. What can a man give in exchange for his soul? Do you know the answer? And then Jesus, or the Word of God, goes on to explain what this means, what this gospel is. Then charged, verse 20, he gave his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus Christ. They said, what do you mean? You just said tell everybody. Why did he tell them? Time? Timing is important. Peter doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit hasn't been sent yet. When Jesus goes, receive ye the Holy Ghost, right after he does that, he says, as the Father sent me, so now I send you. Now it's time. And at Pentecost, after the 10 times of prayer, 10 days, when the Holy Spirit, like tongues of fire come upon those people, Peter goes out and preaches in the power of the Holy Ghost, and 3,000 are added to the church. That's why they're being silent now. Because they don't know what they're talking about. There's a time to speak and a time to be silent. Before they were apostles, they were disciples. Before you're a messenger of God, you have to be a learner of God. Too many young men are exalted, and then they crash. Can't be novice. It's one of the dangers of Christian leadership. Can't be novice. Why? Lest he fall in the condemnation of sin. Time and truth. Test the tree. Test the food. See where they're at in the walk. Have they been through some trials? Have they been through some valleys? One preacher said, you don't know anything before 40 years old. I agree with that. I'm headed toward 49. I agree with that. I look back in my life and I'm like, wow, yeah, now after raising kids and marriage and financial difficulties and this and that, you got a little bit of wisdom on your belt. So he says this, verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. This is proof that Peter is not converted at the moment. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter is actually rebuking God, the Son of the living God right now, the second person of the Godhead. He began to rebuke him, saying, be it not far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Unconverted people don't have a priority for the things of God. They don't. Why? Holy Spirit's not in them. God has not taken residence in them. They serve two masters. Listen to what Jesus says. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou desire not, savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. If you are listening, I know you're not here, because I know this is rock solid, but if you are listening on podcasts or passages, you're listening to what's called a gospel, but it's also some other gospel, a false gospel. If you're listening to a gospel that tells you, you're just going to be happy. You know, sometimes I hear that people say, I'm just not happy. Jesus never once said you're going to be happy. Never once does he say, I came to bring you happiness. He says, I came to bring you peace. The peace I have, the peace I give unto you. Happiness is flesh. It's fleeting. It's not sincere. But if you are listening to a gospel that's telling you, best life now, you're listening to a false gospel. Jesus never says this. The opposite was just said. Jesus says, I'm going to have to suffer. I'm going to be killed. And Peter said, never. And he said, get behind me, Satan. That's Satan talking. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. When you know God has called you to a certain work, you know it. And people say, why do you got to go there? You shouldn't go there. Why do you have to go to Kenya? You just share the gospel here because God's calling you. You just desire not the things of God, but a man. Well, do you really have to go there? I mean, you know, you have a family. Jesus said, who is my mother and my father? Those who hear the word of God and hear. Let me ask you a question, my friends. When will you join the call of God? When will you join the Great Commission that Jesus Christ himself gave? You say, I got kids. I got kids. I love them to death. I see my wife is my ruby and my kids are my diamonds. But if my kids and my wife keep me from the call of God and the work of God, the next season of life will be, well, I got grandkids. And then it's going to be, I'm dead. 70, maybe 80 years. Teach us to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. 70, maybe 80. Now, I'm not good at math, but that gives me 20, maybe 30 years left. I've just seen 3 of my closest comrades, people that have been on the field with me, served alongside with me, get called home. They didn't even make it to 70. How much time do you have? Not a lot. It's like a vapor. Seek ye first the kingdom and all his righteousness, and everything else shall be added unto thee. Matthew 6:33. You're worried about tomorrow. Jesus says, take no thought of tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You're more concerned about who the president is than who the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is.
Right.
You're more concerned about what's going on in New York State than the kingdom of God. And that's just the truth. And I echo the words of the Apostle Paul. Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? That's okay. That's okay. This is the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Listen, he goes on. Then said Jesus, verse 24, unto his disciples, if any man, that means anyone, will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. That's life now. Doesn't sound like it. Prosperity gospel? Doesn't sound like it. No, you know what he's saying? Deny and die. Die and deny. If I followed my own desires, my own way, I would not be here today. I'd be on the brink of retirement from a public school system. And instead, my retirement awaits me in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
I wouldn't trade it. God knows best. See, some of you I know, you're called. You are called to some work that you continue to resist. And today, God the Holy Spirit is calling you up. You need to do it. You don't have a lot of time left. Time is short. Occupy until I come. What is the work? There's lots of gifts. God is the giver of all gifts. There's lots of gifts. Teaching, helps, service. There's all kinds of gifts God gives. God has given gifts used for him and his people. For the pews, Ephesians 4:11. Some apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, for the effecting of the saints, the edification and the work of the ministry. The pews. You're sitting in pews today. God gives the gifts so you can glorify him and build his church in Jesus Christ while you're on earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, even that, some of you thought, what is the guy? We need the sign of the cross, Catholic. He said, we get so caught up in that stuff. And you miss the whole point. Do you think God cares deeply about those things? Or more about somebody who's on the verge of passing into eternal darkness? He says, for what is a man profit, verse 26, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall receive, shall reward every man according to his works. Those are the regenerate people, saved, born again. And then he goes on to say, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here talking to the disciples, who shall not taste the death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That's the transfiguration which is talking about now. I pray today that God prick your heart. Pray that you're challenged today. Pray that maybe God stirs you up. And maybe today you really realize for the first time, your realization is that you have not had a revelation of Jesus. You've come to church. You've come to church for many years, many days, many years. You know not the Christ that I speak of. You see? What that should cause you to do is repent. Have a change of mind. And believe. Put your faith, hope, and trust in the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see? God is good. God is good all the time. I've experienced that my best friend is Jesus Christ. My Lord. My Savior is Jesus Christ. Not just my Savior, my Lord. You know what the Lord means? My Master. See, Jesus says in the Scriptures, to those who have even cast out demons and done miracles, he said, hey, I've done all these great works in you. He says, apart from me, I know what you mean. You did that in my name, but not for my name. See, all powers in that name. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. That's the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's no other name other than the name of Jesus that will save. You can bow the knee of your heart to his kingship, to his lordship. You repent of your sin. By the way, what does sin mean? So we talk about sin means it's an archery term. It means if I put a dartboard in the back and I tried to hit the bullseye a million times, I'll never hit it. We missed the mark. God knows that. Henceforth, he gave his Son. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. It was always his sovereign plan. The Word of God says, for the wages of sin, the price of your sin, your works, is death. But the gift of God, freely given, the gift of God is everlasting life. through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a wonderful gift. There is no greater gift than that. And God wants to extend it to you today. And maybe you say, well, I know. I love Jesus. I have a gift. Well, maybe he needed to breathe some fresh life into you today. It's always good. Sometimes you have a different voice. I was so happy Pastor Nick was going. Now, I don't know if he told you I was coming or not, because the tendency is people know Pastor not coming after church doesn't show up. And I understand that, right? Because the shepherd, you know, the voice of the under-shepherd as well. But it's really such a blessing for myself, and I'm sure I can speak to other members of Rescue Revive to see what God is doing here. Watching all the people come in, young people, the children, the ladies. He's talking to a young lady who had a baby recently and made a decision to stay home, and I said, you made the right choice. See, culture is going to get more perverse. The world is going to get more wicked. So what should that do? I know, cause you to be scared. No. If Christians don't have hope, who's supposed to have hope? Hope is the object of our confidence. We are to be the hope bearers, no matter how bad it gets. Paul told one of the churches, he said, when all of these things happen, don't be shaken in mind or in spirit, don't be troubled. No, you ride with the turbulence, with Christ piloting the plane. And if everything around you is shaking, you're just like, you've got perfect peace. Because you know the Prince of Peace. Today, I want to give you an opportunity. And I know every church culture is different. It's interesting. This is much like Spencer Court, because during the worship, it's very quiet and everything. And that's good. There's a lot of good to be said for proper worship. Okay? Whether you're loud or quiet or anything, God knows your heart. But today, I want to give you an opportunity to ask Pastor Nick if this is okay. I have a few people from the team here, and I'm just going to ask a couple of them to come forward. So Kevin and Andrew, they're a married couple. If you can come on forward, and if I need, I'll call more. I want to give you an opportunity, as the worship team maybe comes back up, if they come back up, the worship team, I want to give you an opportunity to pray today. For any of those things that I mentioned, or maybe something I did not. Maybe it's a concern you have. Some of you today, you have broken marriages. Who do you think is going to heal your marriage? Jesus. Some of you today, you have prodigal sons. Who's going to bring them back? Jesus. You have financial difficulty. Who owns the cattle on a thousand hills? Jesus. See, Jesus is the I Am. He's the answer. He has the answers to it all. And I myself, if I would go down, now if you say, I really don't want to get up in front of people, I understand that. You can go in the back. Sue's back there, Lou's back there. You can pray with me afterwards. Because I only will do an altar call if I feel I should do an altar call. But an altar call, an altar is a place of death and sacrifice, by the way. That's what the altar symbolizes in the scripture. So you can pray with one of the worship leaders, elders, one of our team members. But you come forth. I'll tell you this, I'm not going to repeat whatever you say if you decide to pray with me. But some of you have issues of prayer. You do, you have issues of prayer. So what about you? What can I pray for you about? I'll tell you this, not rest with my ministry. It's not Spencer Court Bible Church. Pray for me as a man of God. Pray for me as a husband. Pray for me as a father. Those are always the same prayer requests I always have. I was telling Isaiah, I'll share this with you. I said, Isaiah, let me tell you this, man, because I'm going to be teaching on Wednesdays. Paul speaks about church leadership. Here's my paraphrase of what Paul says. One of the requirements of an overseer, a spiritual leader, family needs to be in order, can't be a novice, children in subjection. A man doesn't know how to lead his family, how to lead a church. So here's my paraphrase. Isaiah, if you can lead your family well, the church is a breeze. I stand by that. I've lived it. Almost 20 years now. 6 kids, I've lived it. So that's how you can pray for me. If you remember me in your prayers. Okay? So I'm just going to say a prayer and then walk down here. You don't have to come forward, but there's something said about this. I have one more thing and then I'll stop. I don't believe in heads up, 7-up. You know what I mean by heads up, 7-up, Christianity? Everybody, you know, to go down south, I love people. Please don't misunderstand. I'll just do the southern accent to make it more authentic, right? I want everybody, just bow your head. I won't embarrass you. What are you embarrassed about, Jesus? No, you stand up and you say, I want to give my allegiance to the King. He's the one that suffered and died for me. His back was shred for me. The crown of thorns was put on his head for me. His hands were pierced. The blood ran down for me. I'm not embarrassed. No, you stand up and you come to the altar and you pray to this God, to this King, which deserves all the honor and all the glory. There's no need for embarrassment. He says, if you're embarrassed of me, I'll be embarrassed of you before my Father and the angels. So I'll make myself available since other people make themselves available. And you know what? I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll go to the bathroom. If you want to pray with me, you can, but you have wonderful ministers here as well. So let me just say one before we start the worship and give you an opportunity to come forward if you decide you want to. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the opportunity to be here in your church. Thank you for Pastor Nick and just the awesome work that's going on here. It's really amazing to see your hand here. Father, I pray blessing upon this church. I pray as you prepare them to move to a second service eventually, Lord, that you would help with all the logistics, that you would help with all the planning, that you would raise up the servants, because this is a work of your kingdom. We thank you so much. Bless this worship team. Bless everybody who serves in this church family. Bless all the people who call this church their home. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's family said,
Amen. Amen.